Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast, exploring the world of paranormal events through real people's accounts. In this episode, we're looking at the Wendigo. Now, the Wendigo is something I have been interested in for many, many years now. It's always an episode I planned on spending the time doing the research on and, you know, bringing to you guys here. And it's just one that I've always been like, yeah, I'll do it. And it's just finally kind of come to fruition now, where over many years, you know, I've spent time listening, reading, watching different sources all about this creature. And I guess I really wanted to figure out how I was going to maybe approach it a little bit differently, or, you know, that's what I like to do, is I don't want to just regurgitate the same information that others have kind of done time again. I'm always trying to figure out maybe where I can, at least put my sort of insight into it, or just bring something that hasn't maybe been really shown as of yet, because, you know, that's what I really like to try to do here with Paranormal Thoughts, you know, really kind of make it my own and, you know, kind of make it worthwhile you guys listening. So I'm sure some of you listening right now are probably somewhat familiar with the Wendigo, and it's one that, you know, as I said, for years I've known quite a bit about, and just in the last week, 2 weeks, I've really been able to sit down and I guess really make sense of what this creature is, and I guess even just sort of my kind of, I guess, figuring out my opinions around it as well, and, you know, just really my thoughts looking into this creature, you know, like what I've done with other cryptids and of course other creatures that date back hundreds of years in the eyes of the traditional owners of these lands. So let's get into the episode just after this.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Wendigo is a cannibalistic creature held in spiritual tradition by the Algonquin-speaking North American tribes. Depending on the location of certain tribes, they have some different sort of definitions around what exactly a Wendigo is. There's massive similarities, but it's just a little bit of the description of the creature itself kind of changes depending on where the creature was sighted. One of the beliefs of the creature is that it's a spirit that possesses victims, turning them into a cannibal. Some of these creatures are reported to be more human-esque in description, as if someone has actually been possessed by this creature and now is actually forming into it. The reports of the creature being more human describes them as being more emaciated and sickly. Although there is another description which really paints more of this image of a beast. And I feel like this is what, if you've heard of the Wendigo before, you probably picture in your mind of what this creature is. A creature reaching over 4 meters tall, yellow glowing eyes, claws, fangs, and antlers upon its head like a deer, and often being followed by an odor of rotten flesh. Some of those characteristics also do play into the more human-looking creature as well, typically the same sort of yellow eyes and claws. No matter how the Wendigo looks in appearance, though, it has the same narrative of a human becoming cannibalistic from being possessed and then transforming into this creature. Once someone has become Wendigo, it's said that every time they feed, they get bigger and stronger. But with that, their hunger grows to the point that they're actually never fulfilled. So the lore of the Wendigo has been passed down from the elders, like in many traditional owners of the lands culture. though the first written report of the Wendigo dates back to 1936. A French Jesuit missionary by the name of Paul Lejeune lived amongst the Algonquin people in now what is known as Quebec. He was warned of a creature that had eaten nearby tribal members and that the creature would continue to do so until it was called elsewhere. If you do any research into the Wendigo, you're always going to come across this next story of a man named Swift Runner. This took place in 1879. In Alberta, Canada, it was a really harsh winter. Tribes were dealing with absolute misery and starvation. Swift Runner, a Cree hunter and trapper, reported a Wendigo spirit had entered his dreams, possessing his thoughts, telling him to kill his family and to eat them. He let these thoughts get the better of him, and he did that. He killed his five children and his wife. When he returned from his winter camp without his family, members of his tribe reported him to the police. The police investigated and actually found the bones of his family. Swift Runner was sentenced to death by hanging. Swift Runner always held that belief, though, that he was possessed by Wendigo, that he wouldn't have eaten his own family if it wasn't for those possessive thoughts. I've also found in the 1890s a bunch of newspaper reports of Wendigo incidences. In 1897, two women from Whitefish Lake were brought into a missionary. One of the women had a dream of her brother who had actually already passed years before, who was offering her human flesh to eat in a bowl of ice. Both women after this dream became ill and believed they were becoming Wendigos. After being taken into the missionary, their conditions improved. It's believed that they were cured and neither one of them ever ate any human flesh. In 1899, two men at Cat Lake were arrested and put on trial for a man they had killed. It was believed that this man was overtaken by a Wendigo spirit. He asked the men to kill him before he was able to kill others. So as you can see with all these cases, it's the idea of this possession. And I suppose here, other than that one case with Swift Runner actually eating his family, the other two were more kind of cautionary. The two women being taken somewhere and actually were able to improve their condition. Or that other man, unfortunately, deciding to have his life taken before he could injure other people. As you can see, it does typically seem that people don't want to have these cannibalistic traits. They don't want to become Wendigo. It does sound like something they all fear. So one of the big points, which is really brought up a lot when you're looking to Wendigo, is the concept that this ideology exists to improve people's well-being, right? The idea of selfishness and being cruel, the idea of killing one of your own is one of the worst things you could possibly ever do. You know, it's the idea that they're drumming in throughout their community that, you know, if you were to do such a horrible act, you know, the idea that, you know, you are actually possessed by this evil spirit, you know, it's one of the worst things that could possibly happen. Not so much fear-mongering, but it's the learnings, I suppose, like different ways of, I don't know, passing on this information. And definitely with the Wendigo, the idea of people in these cold climates struggling with food, resources, you know, meat typically at these times was really only accessible really with other people, you know, other human beings were the only meat sources around. So I guess the idea of teaching that if you're greedy and you kind of give in to temptation, bad things will happen, like being possessed by a Wendigo. So I guess that's sort of one outlook that maybe this creature never actually existed, right? It was all kind of this folklore made up for teaching sort of purposes, you know, teach the way of not being selfish and so on, you know. But the interesting thing is when it comes to Wendigo, there's an actual psychosis that's been aligned with it, titled Wendigo psychosis. It's defined by the American Psychological Association as a severe culture-bound syndrome occurring among the Northern American Algonquin living in Canada and the Northern Eastern United States. The syndrome is characterized by the delusions of becoming possessed by a flesh-eating monster and is manifested in symptoms including depression, violence, a compulsive desire for human flesh, and sometimes even cannibalism. This is another really interesting outlook when it comes to the Wendigo, is that there were so many cases of people saying that they were possessed or they're having these thoughts of actually feeding on other people, that there was studies done to actually I guess, have an answer from a psychiatric background, you know, to what was actually happening. You know, maybe this was a little bit more than folklore, or, you know, even potentially an actual creature or spirit possessing people.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I spent quite a long time looking into the background of cannibalistic nature, and it does stem from a few different places, you know, and I guess the culture that we're looking at today were very anti the idea of cannibalism. I think I've made that fairly clear with how frightened it, by the sounds of everyone, was of the idea of a Wendigo and how frowned upon eating other people truly was for this culture. But obviously that's not the case in every culture. There has been cannibalistic tribes throughout other parts of the world, and you know, there still are even today. So the idea of being a cannibal, depending on where you're from, there's different, I guess, levels of acceptance and reasoning for it, you know, if it's ritual kind of based or, you know, what kind of have you. But what we're looking at here is obviously, you know, if you're living in the Western world listening to this, it's obviously a very frowned upon act to go through, killing someone, let alone then actually eating them as well. So the idea of, I guess, why people may have been doing this, and so I spent a fair bit of time reading, and I came across a great paper on the National Library of Medicine, and this is Wendigo Psychosis and Psychiatric Perspectives of Cannibalism. So I've kind of taken a few paragraphs from that, which I want to kind of break down, because I think it's really interesting the amount of research that was kind of put into the idea of what actually was going on with these people claiming to be possessed by Wendigos or even becoming a Wendigo. Wendigo psychosis, categorized by psychiatric manifestations such as paranoia, anxiety, hallucinations, and cannibalistic urges, often emerges as a result of a fusion of cultural narratives and psychological vulnerabilities. This may provide an outlet for individuals expressing internal distress. Historical records showed that incidences of the Wendigo psychosis and cannibalism were more prevalent during periods of extreme famine, but they were also manifest in non-famine contexts. Additionally, the development of Wendigo psychosis can be further understood through the concept of externalization. Externalization is a psychological defense mechanism that is not just restricted to the specific cultural phenomenon, but also a universal feature of human experience. Through externalization, individuals can project their feelings onto external factors, situations, or individuals to cope by confronting their inner turmoil or negative emotions directly. By attributing cannibalistic desires to Wendigo transformation, individuals distance themselves from the discomfort of confronting their conflicting emotions and the social stigmatization associated with cannibalism. The extreme conditions of starvation and survival pushed individuals to their physical and emotional limits, making it almost unbearable to acknowledge their own cannibalistic thoughts. By attributing these thoughts of the mythical creature, the Wendigo, individuals create a psychological buffer to shield them from the full weight of their actions. This not only offers a means for emotional survival, but also provides a cultural context for their behavior, reducing the stigmatization within their community. So pretty much to sum it up, it makes total sense, right? The idea of being in these conditions of severe winters, lack of resources, living off the land, just getting to that point of hunger where you could become so delusioned that you could potentially kill a loved one and then eat them. You know, it's making more rational sense of what could have been happening, you know, because it's easy for the Western world to just kind of maybe look at these native people killing one another and feeding on them, claiming to be possessed by something, going, you know, they're just savages, you know what I mean? But obviously there was something more going on here. I'm so thankful that people have actually, you know, done the research into that, because I feel like at one time that would have been the outlook. But of course, I think this would definitely make a lot of sense for just people in absolute desperation. The psychological distress that could be going on just during just that time of, you know, needing to survive, what, you know, what your brain could actually mask and kind of project so you could go through with, you know, one of the worst things. I'm just going to go on to say as well, in 1879, an elderly woman developed mania and cannibalistic tendencies during a famine. Encouragingly, the elderly woman's condition showed immense improvement following enhanced care and improved nutritional intake, providing adequate nutritional support to someone going through famine state and experiencing Wendigo psychosis is not only a humane, compassionate course of action, but also a potentially effective means to improving the psychiatric pathology. So this is the thing where in a lot of the old kind of reports with the Wendigo, someone was said to be possessed by one if they weren't, I suppose, killed by someone, you know, either by being, I guess, handed over to the police, or like that man I mentioned earlier saying, you need to kill me now before I kill others. It's kind of said that you won't ever hear from them again. They go on living their life as a Wendigo and they're kind of doomed to that. But this case, and also I sort of mentioned that woman earlier with the dream, that it did seem like if these people were taken out of these situations, these cannibalistic tendencies could actually improve, meaning, I guess, there's a lot of weight there on, I guess, the psychological strain that really was with these tribes. So I love that this has been just such a researched part of this topic, I think, where, you know, obviously I think the law of a creature possessing someone, and of course, you know, people had obviously witnessed something at some point. You know, I'm not going to take away from that. Yes, some of them may have been delusional at that time seeing these creatures, but I do still think there could be something. You know, I think these communities dating back hundreds of years witnessing, you know, and passing down these stories, I think there's actually a lot of weight held in that. You know, there's a ton, like just looking at the Australian Indigenous with the Yowie, or, you know, a bunch of other Native Americans as well with the Sasquatch and so on. You know, I think that's a great example of this cryptological creature that's been passed down through generations and, you know, seen by a lot of Westerners now as well. You know, it has not just been something seen by that original tribe telling the stories. But I just think it's really interesting that it just adds a lot of weight to it as well, you know, like the idea that the Wendigo is this cannibalistic creature, you know, feeding upon people, possessing them, making them into the same thing. You know, it's a pretty terrifying concept, but the idea that it was happening so much that research was done into it, and I guess even the idea of people, you know, I guess trying to have that cure for it as well, taking them out of these situations and actually seeing them improve. You know, I think that is just a really interesting part of all this, which maybe gets missed a little bit with the kind of creepypasta, large yellow-eyed creature. You know, I feel like a lot of that can kind of be overlooked a little bit and very easily sort of led astray to, I guess, the more frightening sort of aspect of this. So finding modern accounts of the Wendigo becomes something that I have struggled with, to be honest. I haven't really found anything that you could really know to be a Wendigo. I have read that the Algonquin tribes did kind of specify that if you ever see a Wendigo, you're most likely dead, pretty much. Like the idea of making it out alive, having a run in one of these creatures, your chances are pretty low of survival. So these modern day reports, kind of some of them do match some of those descriptions I sort of mentioned, but also some of those descriptions, I don't know, maybe could be related to some other cryptids or even, you know, misidentified other creatures as well, you know, or I've even read things of people hearing sounds that they haven't recognized, and they've kind of just for some reason jumped to the conclusion of a Wendigo without any other proof. But the Wendigo, it's a tricky one because I feel like most of the things you either witness or read just don't really seem to be credible enough, I would say. It's like the Wendigo really falls into that kind of Reddit creepypasta in, you know, kind of camp in the modern world. And I don't really know what that is. I think it's become increasingly popular in the last 5 years, I'd say. Like a lot of the paranormal, you know, I think it's a really great time to be discussing these kinds of topics, because the popularity of everything has increased dramatically within, you know, easily the last 7 years of me doing Paranormal Thoughts. But yeah, it's hard for me to have sort of found a modern report which I think kind of has any substantial weight to it. And I suppose there's a few reasons for that. One being the reason I kind of mentioned, where it's believed that if you were to ever come across one of these creatures, you don't stand a chance. Two, as well, that the original reports were being made by these people who were living off the land during these really difficult times. And, you know, into the 20th century, the reports dropped off as people actually, I guess, started to live more in towns and, you know, didn't have to live out in the harsh wilderness throughout those just brutal winters. So I think that really plays a big part of it, where if the idea that people are starving, you know, if people can go buy food, I suppose, and have other resources around them, they don't have to succumb to the idea of having to eat someone. So I guess the idea that this creature still would exist today seems less likely, I would say.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I feel like with the Wendigo, I would never want to dismiss these original reports from these people. You know, I think it's really important when we share different cultures, the stories which have been passed down through generations. I think it's important to look at that with a lot of credibility, a lot of respect. I know a lot of people, when it comes to the paranormal, like to have fun, have a bit of a laugh. Totally understandable, but it's something that when it's kind of looking at topics like this, where there's, you know, so much, I feel like there's so much weight held within these cultures for these types of creatures, it feels like something that I just want to be very respectful of course, you know. So I definitely think that there's a lot of weight to these stories. You know, these people were really put in positions where terrible things would happen. And who's to say that was their own mind kind of dealing with that situation? Or it could be an evil spirit, you know, people maybe doing the wrong thing and then kind of having to unfortunately pay for that with this terrible curse, you could say. But I also love the other side of it, with the idea that it makes a lot of sense why this was happening and why people were reporting the idea of the Wendigo, with all the Wendigo psychosis kind of material that I shared as well, where it's a really interesting thing where you look at a cryptid. I don't think I've ever found such a psychological answer for it. You know, it's typically unexplained sightings and, you know, run-ins, accounts, maybe some weird footage or an audio recording. But with this, it's just got this really interesting other part to it, which I've really enjoyed getting to look at, I think. And it's one of the things where it really shows a moment in time, a really brutal moment in time as well, for these traditional owners of that land as well, you know, kind of coming into that modern world with the white man and so on. You know, it must have just been such a time of change as well. Even the idea of these families reporting murders and so on to the white man's kind of police as well, like that's a whole other, that was a brand new thing at that time, you know, to kind of be conforming to what is now, you know, sort of the modern world and so on. But yeah, I still really enjoy the story of the Wendigo. I think it has a great moral. With a lot of these traditional kind of stories, there's so much good and learning in there, you know. It's why they were just, it's why they, I feel like they still hold such weight now. It's just because they were really great at demonstrating how these cultures wanted to live amongst one another, you know, how to harmoniously live. And I don't know, I think it's great. I've really enjoyed getting to read about this and I guess understand it enough to show you guys and bring you guys up to speed as well, because I love getting to do that. I love getting to kind of tell a story and hopefully educate, maybe get a little bit more interest, you know. Like, I'd love if anyone listening has done extensive research into this and maybe has something else to bring forward or another kind of aspect of this. But I feel like that kind of really encapsulates it quite well, is this is what was happening, you know, for these hundreds of years. And then it has kind of fallen away a little bit, and it makes sense to why as well. And, you know, as I said, I'm not really here to throw my thoughts on, in this case, typically I am, but I feel like, yeah, when it comes to more of these stories which are passed down through these sort of cultures, I do think, I mean, really the Wendigo did exist, really, if the whole concept was these people killing and eating. I mean, that's exactly what happened. So the Wendigo was as real as anything in that case. If that's what people were believing was happening, I mean, it was. It definitely was, and it still could. Even at times today, you know, the idea of people just doing terrible things as well, that idea of, you know, how can people be so cruel, you know? Are they somewhat a little bit possessed as well, you know, and the whole sort of the psychology kind of behind that as well, you know, I think that's definitely an interesting thought and something that maybe gets overlooked a lot of the time when we're sort of dealing with these, sometimes dealing with these people who aren't maybe so nice. But what do you guys think? I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Wendigo. I really enjoyed getting to do this, as I've mentioned. If you guys have suggestions for episodes as well, anything you want me to look into, definitely reach out. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, whatever platform you use, it really helps. You can find Paranormal Thoughts on Instagram and Facebook. If you type in Paranormal Thoughts Podcast into Facebook, you can find our private group where we're a small community of people who want to share thoughts around the paranormal in a safe environment where there's no judgment. So you can join that group if you so choose. And of course, if you ever want to reach out to me, send me a DM on Instagram, or even better, you can email me at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for joining me for this episode. If you made it this far, I really appreciate it. This was my take on the Wendigo, and I hope to see you in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks.